Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming at you. March Madness is going. Caroline on vacation. D-Mace and I watching the games, kicking back and doing a good radio show. D-Mace's alma mater, Michigan State, in command, 66-51, 4:05 to go, leading Mississippi State. Of course, Nick Frazier, very, very downtrodden, back behind the glass.
Accepted the loss around the eight-minute mark, so we're good.
It's not over with yet, Nick.
You never wave the white flag. Never wave the
white flag, man. No retreat, no surrender. No retreat, no surrender.
But it's time to talk a little hockey. Elliot Friedman is on here with us for his weekly segment. The Nashville Predators are down in South Florida tonight. It's an ESPN Plus game. That's why I'm in the studio hanging here with the guys. I didn't try to sneak out of work to watch the March Madness, Elliot, just to I do have my reason. It's an excused absence, not being with the Predators. Right,
I know what your reason is. You don't want to have to pay for ESPN Plus, so you come to the studio, so your work pays yes. for it. Like, we all know what this is.
Fringe benefits, for sure.
But I got to tell you guys, I wanted to tell you something. So I was down at the GM meetings, and of course, Barry Trotz is there representing the Predators. And I know this story is going to sound a little bit unbelievable because I was in the gym, but I saw Trotz in the gym, and man, he is still strong. Like, when he comes on your station, you guys better be careful with your questions because he was pushing those machines around, man. He may no longer be coaching, and he may be behind, and maybe in an office now. But that man can still pack a wallop. He is one strong, strong guy.
So interesting. So you were down there. The GM's meetings are going on. We'll ask you about the rule changes here in a moment. But just what's the buzz? You've got Florida, who I think a lot of people would say has as good a chance as anybody of winning the whole thing. Yeah. They're loaded. And you've got Nashville trying to set a franchise record for a point streak. Tonight would give them the outright record at 16. So a great test for Barry Trotz's crew.
Well, I think Florida's the best team in the East. And I think top to bottom, when everybody's healthy, I think they're the best team in the East. And they've played like it all year. Boston's a little ahead of them in the standings, but you know they do have two games in hand. So we'll see where that goes. But they've been legit. They play a mean, mean game of hockey. They've got good skilled players, but they play tough. Like, they're sore losers. If they're about to lose, you know the scrums are coming, and that's kind of their identity. And they're okay with that. So, you know, I'm a big Florida guy. I like their team. You know, you guys are on a roll, no question too. It's one of the best games of the night tonight. It's one I'll definitely be watching and looking forward to. But when I rank the teams in the Eastern Conference, I have Florida at number one.
Elliot, I think a lot of the listeners here who have been watching this streak want to know, how much do you think they have closed the gap on the heavyweights? Tonight will be another litmus test. But they, for example, they've gone to Winnipeg and won decisively. They've beaten Colorado during this stretch. They've won at Vegas. Yep. They won at L.A. And so is the perception maybe starting to change a little bit? Not just a hot streak, this is a good team.
No, I don't think it's starting to change. I think it has changed. I think people have looked at you guys very differently for some time now. And I think, first of all, you've got a lot of players there that people really respect. Ryan O'Reilly, Ryan McDonough, Forsberg, Yossi, Saros, and there's more. Like, there's just a lot of respected players. And secondly, I think the fact that, you know, again, when you subtract a guy like Trenin, you go out, you bring in a guy like Zucker, like, you guys are serious. So I think there's that. You guys play a really up-tempo game. You try to, like, some teams, they want to score, but they don't really want to score. Like, you guys, although it's a lot harder to play that way now in this league, like, you guys really try to score, push the pace, get the puck up the ice, let's go. And I'll tell you the other thing. Like, I did have someone say to me at the GM meetings, and it was not Barry, it was someone else, and they said, look, like, there's all this talk about Yossi for Norris. You know, I had some people say to me, you guys should start thinking about him for the heart. Like, he's having that kind of a season. So it's hard for defensemen to win the Hart Trophy. It doesn't happen very much at all. I think the last one was Chris Pronger. I'd have to double-check that, which would be about 2000. But I had some people mention that to me. No, you guys are pretty legit. Like, in the Western Conference right now, where the first round of the playoffs is going to be ridiculous, like, nobody's standing there if you're not for real. There's too many good teams there.
Now, Elliot, looking at, the remainder of the season, from your experience, because there are about, you know, three, four teams possibly that can win the President's Trophy. When you're at this point in the season, what are you thinking as one of these top tier teams? Are you thinking more so about, let's just stay healthy and going to the playoffs healthy? Or are you really thinking about getting that number one overall seed?
I think this. Your number one thing is always health.
Exactly.
Number one thing, Derek, at this time of year is always health. You don't want anyone getting hurt in a meaningless game. I will say this, though. You will hear coaches say to you, in a huge game, you always want to be at home. You know, you always want that game seven at home. You want that last change. You want the familiarity. You want that crowd behind you. But I think that will always be second to getting into the playoffs healthy. Always second.
Now, with that being said, the Predators, where they sit at that number one spot of the wild card, do you think there's a chance for them to move up, or you just think they're too far behind, say, Dallas or Colorado or some of these other teams are above them?
Well, I think it's going to be really tough. You're 9 points back. Like, all these teams, you're 9 points back of them. Colorado's at the same number of games. You've got one in hand on Dallas, and Winnipeg's got one on you. I think you guys are pretty locked in. Now, maybe it's possible you sneak up or I think your bigger worry right now is just making sure that, although it doesn't really matter, whoever you play is going to be incredible. Does it matter to you if Vegas catches you for the first wild card? Nah, maybe it does, because that means you're probably not playing as well. But honestly, I don't think you're catching those guys, Derek. I just think it's too far. I mean, one of them would have to have a collapse like you guys are having a surge right now for you guys to catch them. That's a lot to ask in 12 to 14 games.
Now, with the injuries that the Predators have had over the last week or so, it's turning out to be sort of a smart decision, maybe it wasn't a decision. Maybe, there just wasn't anybody out there willing to trade for who am I thinking of? Barry. Yeah, Tyson Barry. No one was able to trade for him. And now, because of the injuries, he's playing key minutes for you, and he's doing well.
Yes. Well, number one, I'm happy for him because it's been a hard year. Like, he wanted the trade. They couldn't get it done. It's really hard. Like, Derek, you played. That's a really hard situation to be in. But the funny thing about sports, especially hockey, is, because of injuries and things like that, weird things happen. What is true today may not be true tomorrow. And that was clearly the case in Barry's situation. And when you're in those situations, there's only one thing you can do, and that's deliver. You're being given an opportunity. You've screamed for this opportunity all year. You want this opportunity. And this is why teams like having eight defensemen, especially in the Western Conference with a team like Nashville. Like, you guys are one of the most easternmost teams in the Western Conference. Your travel makes it harder on you guys, especially in the postseason. So you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? We think we need seven guys. We need eight. And this is why. And so suddenly he gets an opportunity. And when life gives you the opportunity, you better take it. I'm really happy for him. I'm glad it's working out. because people are watching. Like, this is the time of year where people are really watching, because the games get bigger, the games get meaner, it's harder to fight for every inch on the ice, and the better Tyson Barrie plays, the more someone's going to look at him and go, huh, like, look at them giving them good minutes at this time of year. Maybe he can help us next season. That's important, because Tyson Barrie's not just playing for the Predators now. He's playing also for his future. And if he plays well, it's going to end better for him.
That's a great point. Elliot Friedman is with us. 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, D-Mace mentioned Vegas, who Nashville has surged past in the standings for now. Yep. But as you mentioned, there's probably a lot of thought of, at some point, Nashville is going to come back to earth here. You can't win every game down the stretch. Hopefully they don't go completely the other direction. But Vegas, I was looking at their schedule. They've got two with Vancouver. They've got at Winnipeg. They've got at Edmonton. They've got a game with Colorado. Yep. They don't exactly have a soft way to coast into the playoffs, and I'm just wondering if Minnesota or St. Louis could make a run at them. Like, they've got some work to do to make sure they get in.
They do, and I think a lot of us are a little bit surprised at that, Willie. We didn't think it would be so hard for them to make it to this spot, to make it in and settle their place. Their goaltending has been a little more suspect, I think, than some of us expected, and look, you guys have sorrows. You guys sleep easy at night. They haven't slept as easy at night recently. I think the thing, like, Minnesota, like, that game last night, they got pumped.
That was not good.
In L.A. Yeah, it's like, you can't do that at this time of year. I mean, look, I understand you, like, can lose a game 3-2, 4-2. You can't be losing 6-0 in a game you absolutely have to have. So now Vegas has two games in hand and they're 3 points up. And also Minnesota has a couple of really bad injuries. Brodin sounds like it's a reasonably significant injury. So I don't know. To me, if it's going to be someone, it's going to be St. Louis. They're 4 points back. Vegas is a game in hand. I don't know about you, Willie. You watch a lot. I don't see Vegas missing the playoffs with their lineup. But one of these two teams, like, at the bottom of the East, it's like almost like nobody wants to make the playoffs. They all keep losing. Minnesota or St. Louis is going to have to put some pressure on Vegas here. Even though they're within striking distance, they're really not doing it, and Minnesota really blew a good opportunity last night.
And I would say that St. Louis has an easy schedule down the stretch, and they have a big game where they host Vegas here next week. So that's just something to watch. Yep. I'm with you. I'll believe it when I see it.
Races.
That Vegas doesn't. We love the races. We love the races. Yeah. All right. So speaking of the race, Elliot, you mentioned Roman Josi. The first 6 or 7 games, it really wasn't there for him. I think he had no goals in one sense. He didn't have a goal until almost the end of the first month in October. Mm-hmm. But now he's made this surge. He's had a huge week. He's made key plays at key times, 7 points in the last 3 games. Barry Trotz called him the best defenseman on the planet on our station earlier this week. But where in your mind is he in the Norris race? Because he's not alone.
No, I think there's, like, Cale Makar is always in the race, and he's had a great year. Quinn Hughes from Vancouver is in the race, and he's had a great year. But I think Josi's right with them. And so, like, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone here. I'm sure I'm missing someone.
Bouchard has big numbers. Victor Hedman has big numbers.
But Bouchard is not on the level of these guys. He's getting better. He's only going to get better, but he's not in their class. Hedman is a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. This year, I don't see him in their class. So for now, off the top of my head, with the admission I might not be thinking of someone in the short term, these are the 3 guys for me. And, you know, to me, I think Makar, top to bottom, is probably the best defenseman in the league. But that doesn't necessarily mean you always win. Hughes has had a phenomenal year on a team that was not expected to do well and could win the Western Conference. Josi is having a ridiculous year on a team that looked DOA in the middle of the season and now looks like it's going to make the playoffs. Like, I always think, guys, in voting, the player who does well when they're not expected to gets an edge. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my experience. So, to me, Makar is the best defenseman in the league, but both these guys have had massive seasons on teams that weren't expected to be that good, and I know that voters can really fall for that kind of a story.
All right, last thing. You've got Andrew Brunette coaching against the Panthers tonight in Florida for the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a Jack Adams nominee as the interim coach, and so it's obviously a very interesting storyline, the kind of one that you guys are all over up in Canada. It's got a lot of good stuff because Andrew Brunette has been asked a few times, and he said, yeah, it hurt that they didn't keep me, and it certainly worked out great for the Panthers because Paul Maurice has done great things there for sure. So this year, do you think, and of course I'm one of the voters on this, is for the Jack Adams, but I have to believe there's momentum now for Andrew Brunette again to be nominated for that award.
I would think so. I know for a lot of the year it's been on Tocket. And again, it's
deservedly
similar to what
so.
We just talked about with Quinn Hughes, because Tocket, you know, they've been racing towards the top of the Western Conference. You would know this better than me, Willie, because you have a vote and I don't. But look, I could see either one of them, but I know I've heard a lot of Tocket. I think for a long time, it was kind of like Tocket was the lead horse and other people had to catch him. I don't know if that's changed, but I do know that Brunette would certainly be in the running for sure.
Yeah, hard to knock. Tocket has been so good and so have the Canucks. It'd be interesting if that were the first round opponent for the Predators, which is possible. It is possible. We're all eyeing these teams. Elliot, the good thing is here, it's been a lot of fun. Everybody's kind of buzzing here. So much momentum on the season here. You fill out brackets, Elliot?
You know what? I didn't this year. I just didn't get a chance to. You know, I broke in covering basketball, and I used to watch. When I was a teenager, I used to tape the whole NCAA tournament and watch it again in the summer. That's how big a college basketball fan I was. But I just don't. I just don't get the chance now. Although I heard, I was talking to Nick, the producer, and told me that Creighton was on the ropes. So did they win or did they lose?
They're still playing, but you know, University of Tennessee is a 2 seed. Creighton is the 3, and they're part of the bracket. So that would open things up for the Big Orange.
I know where you guys are all leading. Where you guys are all.
Oh yeah, and that's,
where's Caroline today?
Caroline's. How do you go on vacation during March Madness? I still don't get this. She better be having a lot of fun. Maybe it's just because she wants to watch these games.
The rest of us, she's probably watching games.
Exactly.
I bet you she pays for ESPN Plus, Willie.
Oh yeah, no question. She's beachside somewhere, relaxing with a drink, watching all these games for sure. All right, final thing, Elliot. Nick reminded me, we had a great show yesterday. We don't do this frivolously, right? But this line for the Predators of Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, all league minimum guys. They start every game. They're doing an unbelievable job energizing the team and all that stuff. So we tried to come up with a fun nickname for the line. We got about 100 different things yesterday. Some of them were really funny. Some of them were good. But what's your favorite nickname of a line, and how long does a line have to stay together before they deserve a nickname?
Well, you know what? I think if you're starting every game, you earn a nickname. Like that's just not a frivolous line. I've seen coaches do that before with fourth lines or energy lines. And so that means you're respected internally. I was just thinking as you were listening to it, I was thinking as I was listening to you, and if they're all making the minimum salary and they're starting the line, starting the game to go at the opponent, maybe you guys should call them the Minimizers, because minimum salary and they're minimizing the opponents.
Solid. I like that.
I'm not usually that good. Like, that one just came to my head right now. You know, I'll say this. I always loved, when I was a kid, there was a line in Buffalo, and they played for the Sabres, and one of the guys, Gilbert Perreault, is in the Hall of Fame, And his two line mates were Rick Martin and Rene Robert, and they're all great players. And their nickname was The French Connection, after one of my favorite movies, Gene Hackman, The French Connection, one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. So I always loved the idea of The French Connection. I thought it was a great name, and it just brought me back to my childhood.
Oh, man, that's a good one. That's good. Of course, with Pete Weber and his ties to the Sabres and Jerry Helper, they know all about The French Connection for sure. Elliot, great stuff. Yeah. Great to catch up with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Minimizers.
Okay, I'm taking this to the proper authorities here. That definitely would have scored high on the list. We gave away tickets yesterday to the best one. The working 9-to-5 line, the 9-to-5 line, the Dolly Parton, the Nashville, clocking in, working, blue collar, that kind of rose to the top. We had a couple other good ones too, the Discount Dogs and the Lumber Line.
I like the Discount Dogs. I like that one. That's a good one.
Not bad. And then you throw throw the three names together. Mm-hmm. So Smith, McCarron, and Sherwood. We had the Smackwood.
I like Smackwood.
So there you go. It's still a work in progress. Yes. It's still a work in progress.
Hey, you got creative listeners. I like Discount Dogs. I like that one. That's a good one. I like that one.
All right. Ellie, we'll talk again next week. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Still a work in progress. I was floating these out to the broadcast crew yesterday, D-Mace. I got some people going, okay. You know, everybody's got their own opinion. Some of the ones that we thought were really good, they're like, really? I don't know. Elliot seems to like the Discount Dog. Okay, we got to keep working on this. This is tough.
We get it.
We got until Saturday we're back behind the mic in Smashville. We'll see what we come up with. I got to consult C-Mace. Tomorrow he'll be on the show.
A lot of pressure on your shoulders.
We'll bring this
really
up with C-Mace tomorrow on the show. All right. We'll come back. We'll give you a scoreboard update. We'll tell you how much trouble Creighton's in and BYU's in. And D-Mace is feeling good because the Spartans, they can put their name tag. That's the new thing, right? Now you slam your name tag down on the bracket thing as a team. Vanderbilt's women got to do that yesterday. That was fun. Speaking of them, they got the victory yesterday, and that means that they have moved on. And they will play Baylor tomorrow, and you can hear the game on 94.9 The Fan. Baylor, then the coverage starts at 4:45, the tip at 5, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app at 94.9thefanapp.com. Of course, you get the app. You can listen anywhere, anytime. So go Doors as they take on Baylor. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more after this. Ah, D-Mace just perked up. He just perked up.
Yes.
Was this part of the deal? Did you guys have an agreement before the show? Michigan State versus Mississippi State?
No.
Winner plays the fight song?
It just felt right, though.
It just felt like you had to do it.
Yeah. It's an honorable thing.
It is a final.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
It's a Southern thing, D-Mace. I don't know what it is.
You got to give it up. Give it up.
Just like that hash brown casserole.
Yeah. One day.
It hasn't happened
yet. One day
I am
going to walk in here, Nick, and say, I had the casserole.
Remember the rule of thumb. Hey, if you smell something and it's grease, it's from the highway. You smell from the highway. That's where you get the best hash.
That's
why
I need to pull into.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I got you.
So Michigan State has eliminated Mississippi State, and they really led from wire to wire. Mississippi State made some runs. It was a 7-point game at the half, but the Spartans pull away 66-51. So they'll play the winner of North Carolina and Wagner, which is the next game in the doubleheader up there. Arizona is underway. They're taking on Long Beach State. The 2-seed Arizona leads 24-22 against the 15-seeded Long Beach State. What are they called? The Grouchos? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Gauchos?
Gauchos,
I think.
The Gauchos.
The Gauchos, yeah. The Akron Zips, 14-seed, taking on Creighton. And the Blue Jays, not the Toronto Blue Jays, but the Creighton Blue Jays lead 39-33 at the half of that one. Creighton the 3-seed, and they would meet Tennessee in the Sweet 16 if we go chalk, which, of course, it never does. Good game going on right now over in the East region. Duquesne leading BYU 52-51. Duquesne had a double-digit lead in that game early on, but BYU has gained the momentum in the second half. So they cut it to 1, 52-51, with 6:06 to go. So they're about to go down the stretch run there. They could have a really good finish in that game. So we'll keep certainly watching that one. We might get the final of that one. I can't remember who played last year at D-Mace. Was it Michigan State where we were on the air and it went right down to the final? It was a great finish.
It was Michigan State, yeah. I forget who
they played. It was a good first round game, but D-Mace was sweating a little bit. He never had to sweat today.
Nah, they led no from wire to wire.
Later today, close. Illinois against Morehead State, 3-seed Illinois. Morehead State representing the OVC. Oregon against South Carolina is at 3 o'clock on TNT. Nevada-Dayton, a 10 versus a 7. That's going to be a good game. I've got the Dayton Flyers in that one. I feel like they could make a little run here. Matt Saggio from our staff. He's a big Dayton guy. He was cluing me in about Dayton a couple weeks ago.
They got a good team?
They got a good team, okay. He says. Colorado State, who won the first four games, gets a chance at Texas tonight at 5:50. Oakland against Kentucky at 6:10. That's on CBS. So Kentucky fans don't have to go looking around at the sports bar if you don't have cable. But you just get the antennas up if you need. Just get the rabbit ears, and you'll get it on Channel 5. McNeese State and Will Wade takes on Gonzaga tonight. South Dakota State, Iowa State, the 15 versus the 2. St. Peter's against Tennessee, another 15 versus the 2. That's at 8:20 on TNT. So you'll be up late watching that one. NC State, Texas Tech, Samford against Kansas, Drake, Washington State are the other games that are going on tonight. Washington State's coach is a guy that seems to be on the radar for Vanderbilt. Don't know how close. I mean, they're still, I think, getting the preliminary list, getting through the first cut, seeing who's interested. But that's a game. That's a coach that a lot of people are checking out right now. He's done a heck of a job with that crew. So that's where we're at. When we come back, we will go down the stretch run of the action. Also, interestingly enough, on the show today, we're watching all these basketball games, and the Music City Miracle game comes on NFL Network.
And Al Del Greco just missed the field goal. Would have put us up 12-0. I know we won the game, but gosh.
So it's the only reason it was close.
It wouldn't even be close. We wouldn't have had to have had the Music City Miracle.
Oh, hold on. Al's going to get new life here. He missed the field goal, but it's holding on the defense. Wade Phillips is not happy. But I don't know if he – does he make it? I don't think he makes it.
I couldn't tell you whether Al made it or not. It's so long
hold on.
Ago.
Let's just see what happens here. Let's just see. Wade Phillips is ticked.
Oh, he's peeved.
I
would be too.
I still can't believe they benched Doug Flutie for this game. I really don't.
Yeah,
know what
Doug had been playing so well. But Brad was injured throughout the season. He came back and they started him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a holding. Definitely a holding.
You don't see it on a field goal very often, though.
You can't
defensive
do that.
Holding
you can't,
on the field goal?
You can't pull somebody and allow somebody else to come through that hole that you've created, that gap
all right.
that you've created.
So this makes it a 40-yarder.
Yeah, Al's going to make it
this
now.
This is to put the Titans up 12-0 at the half.
Al's going to make it now.
40-yarder straight away.
Yeah,
and he's got it.
Man.
Okay, so it was just a little precursor.
Yeah, the precursor, yeah.
Al was fine that year. He was fine. Okay, when we come back, we'll have the final segment of the show. We'll continue to update you on the scores and everything else. We'd love to hear from you on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you've got thoughts of stuff we've discussed today, should they expand the field of 68 up to 80? What about the Shohei Ohtani thing? That's a big story going on. Vanderbilt's basketball search is one. Or any thoughts on the tournament that is going on right now? Or how about the Red Hot Predators taking on the Panthers tonight? Certainly you can weigh in on that. Anything that Elliot said there to pique your interest, we'd love to hear from you. So hit us on the text line or call us, 615-567-1000. We'll leave the phones open for you when we come back here on 102.5 The Game. All right, it is 1:45. That means we're coming down the home stretch of our show. On the first full day of March Madness, Arizona having all they want from Long Beach State. 39-35 Arizona, 1 minute to go in the first half. Akron trails Creighton, 49-40, early second half. And we've got one coming right down to the wire right now. Duquesne 60, BYU 58. BYU with the ball trying to tie or take the lead, and they've just tied it with the dunk. 60 all with 1:45 to go. We've had some fun stuff on our text line that will weigh in We had B-Man saying, no, who is it? Shane saying, Arizona's making me nervous. So with that in mind, all of us have our brackets, and we bring in Allie Melnicki from Zen Sports for her weekly segment. Allie, how's the early returns on the bracket? How are you feeling about things?
Well, I was happy Michigan State pulled it off comfortably. Whenever you have a team, when they pull that big of a lead, you could just sit back, relax. I'm sweating BYU right now, though.
Oh, I am, yes. Too. I've got BYU, and D-Mace does as well. So that is something we'll be keeping one eye on here. So, Allie, first of all, how do you like to do the brackets with what you do? Do you like to really drill down on a few individual games? Do you try to just pick the whole tournament? We all have our brackets, but what's your strategy?
I watch the Selection Sunday show every single year. I make my notes who I like. I always go with my gut feelings. I really don't follow any kind of quote-unquote expert opinions. I go with my gut, and I'm an upset person. I like picking a lot of upsets, especially in the first round. I like those 12s over the 5s. I like the 13 over the 4s. So I look for my upsets first of all.
Okay, is there one in particular that you would throw out there in terms of the upsets, like you're saying, a 12 or higher? Because you know there's going to be some. It's just a matter of who they're going to be.
Sure. I love James Madison over Wisconsin. That's one of my 12 over my 5. I also am really high on New Mexico this year. I actually have them going pretty far, I believe, to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to pull off a lot of upsets. So those are the two ones I really like.
We'll talk with Allie Melnicki in sports. Now, Allie, based upon what you've been seeing, who would have the highest odds of the number one seeds to be put out in the first round?
It's North Carolina. A lot of people question whether North Carolina even deserve to be a number one seed. So Houston is clearly, along with Purdue and UConn, the top three. But North Carolina, they were lucky. I think that Tennessee ended up losing in the SEC tournament, and they won the ACC tournament because it was questionable if they'd get a number one seed.
Another game that I was looking at, a Big Ten SEC match at Nebraska versus Texas A&M. Last time we saw Texas A&M at least win the game, they defeated, I believe it was Kentucky. Those guards played exceptionally well. What is the line on that one?
That one I got to check, but I believe it's pretty razor thin. I think it's only like a 1-point spread. But I like A&M on this one. I know that I wasn't a big fan of any of the Big Ten schools, even though I did pick Michigan State this morning. So I'm going with A&M over Nebraska.
I love Buzz Williams. I'm rooting for him. He's easy to root for. Yeah. I'm going for Texas A&M in that, now, A&M in that one.
Another one here, because you like the upsets, Allie, the St. Mary's and Grand Canyon.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that one pulling any, you know, big upset bets on that one?
I'm going with St. Mary's right here. I think they're a very underrated school. I thought they were better than Gonzaga was this year, who was also a number 5 seed. That is one that I'm going to go with the favorite, St. Mary's. I actually even like St. Mary's potentially in the second round to defeat Alabama if both teams make it there.
Now, you brought up Gonzaga. They got McNeese State, obviously. Do you see that as a potential upset?
Yeah, a lot of people are picking that one. We know it's a popular one, but I'm picking it as well. I think that anytime you have one of those mid-majors that have over 30 wins on the season, you can't take them lightly. I think that McNeese is an upset primer.
All right. Allie, who do you like? They're both playing later today. You've got Kentucky playing Oakland. You've got Tennessee against St. Peter's. They're both in different brackets. But who do you like to go further, Tennessee or Kentucky, in this tournament?
Actually, in my Final Four, I have both Tennessee and Kentucky, but I have Kentucky beating Tennessee in the Final Four.
So you've got Kentucky and Tennessee going head-to-head in the Final Four. What a story that would be.
That would be quite the matchup, two SEC foes getting there.
Wow. Okay, so who do you have cutting down the nets?
I hate to say it, but UConn, I picked them last year when they were a 4 seed to win it all. I still think that they're the best team in the nation. There wasn't really anyone in their region that I thought could really put up a fight against them. So I know it's the popular pick, but I'm sticking with UConn.
Now, quickly, before we let you go, Allie, Purdue. Purdue has been this team over the last couple of years. Obviously, they have the reigning player of the year in Zach Edey. But this is a team that if you ask some people, yeah, they could go all the way, and potentially a lot of people have them cutting down the nets, but they also can get beat somewhere within in this tournament. Maybe not tonight or tomorrow, but as they move further along.
Yeah, I actually have them losing to Tennessee. I think Tennessee would match up very well against them. I actually think the best thing Tennessee could have did was getting blown out by Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. They got their bad game out of the way. Hopefully that they'll reach the Final Four, at least for my bracket purposes.
All right, we shall see what happens. Allie, enjoy the tournament. We'll see if we're all surviving next week when we meet again on Thursday and where our brackets are. Hopefully we're still in the mix.
Hope so. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yep. Allie Melnicki from Zen Sports. And, of course, our show brought to you by Zen Sports. Good stuff going on. Now, 63-60 Duquesne, 44 seconds to go. Duquesne, though, has the ball. They just had a jump ball after a missed free throw, and it was their possession arrow. So BYU is in trouble. Now, Duquesne would be pulling, I guess, mini upset here.
Don't foul.
8 seconds to go on the shot clock. This is the big possession here. Drive to the basket, and Duquesne scores. Nice. That is a big, big bucket there. Duquesne up by 5 with 27 seconds to go. Let's get to Bicycle Boy. He's got a thought here on our text line and our phone line, 1025 The Game. It's brought to you by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bicycle Boy, what do you got?
Hey, fellas. Don't get to call much, and I got a lot, so I'll try to keep it short. By the way, Willie, the Grouchos, that was back when Groucho Marx was in college.
The Gauchos and not the Grouchos. Yeah. You're right. I'm thinking Groucho Marx. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, and also good to hear the explosive diarrhea excuse. I vividly remember that show when George brought that up, and good to hear George. So here's my two things. The goalie stick. We had a caller. Remember, we talked about this a few calls ago. The goalie stick, when it's loose, the caller called back in and said players can only have one stick in their hand at a time. It wasn't long after that that Soros got his stick stuck in the Zamboni door, and I'm not sure who it was. I think it was McDonough, maybe, but one of the teammates went back, grabbed the stick, and handed it back to Soros. And then I've noticed several times since then players either kicking the goalie stick back to the goalie or picking it up and handing it back to the goalie. So if that's a rule, I guess the officials are going to just not enforce it.
Yeah, there's a lot of nuances on that rule for sure.
Yeah. And then lastly, the mysterious strap that still continues to sneak out from under Yossi's jersey, and I've noticed it on other players now, especially during the All-Star game. It seemed like a bunch of players had that mystery strap coming out from under there. I hope nobody trips on that thing.
Well, I would hope not either. Whatever Yossi's doing, I would tell him to keep doing it the way he's playing.
Yeah. Let the strap fly.
Let it fly. Hey, Bicycle Boy, good to talk to you. We'll see if they can do it again tonight.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Good stuff. Predators and Panthers tonight. It's now Duquesne 66, BYU 62 with 17 seconds to go. Will we see the big buzzer beater? Probably not. If Duquesne can hit this free throw here, they can all but seal it.
Yeah.
And they do, so they're up 5. A couple other thoughts from our text line. B-Man says, why in the hell did I not think about the fact that Tom Izzo always, he put it 3 times, wins his first round game. Shake my head. Bracket already done.
What?
Come on, your bracket can't already be done, B-Man. Keep the faith.
Well, you know what, B-Man? Your bracket deserves to be done. If you're picking against my Spartans, you know what? Yes, I'm glad your bracket is up. Throw it in the trash. Burn it right now.
We had some good stuff
today. We love
today.
You, man.
Mark from Clarksville says, I've been listening to you guys for 4 years. I really want to get into hockey, but I don't know where to start, like with the rules and stuff. Advice, Mark, come back with us with that question on a day where we have a little bit more time. It's a good question, and we want to welcome everybody.
There is a book, because I remember I looked it up. It was it Hockey for Dummies or Hockey 101, something like that?
Hockey for Dummies, I will say, in the very first year that the Predators were there, and John Davidson, who is the president of the
Columbus. And I'm not
Columbus,
calling you a dummy, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Columbus Blue Jackets. I read that book. That helped me a lot. Exactly. Just started to get back into the swing and figure out what's going on out there. But we welcome everybody. And just go to a game sometimes, too, and you will see the fans around you. They will want to help you understand. Ask questions. Because they've all been there. A lot of the people in this market have been there where you are, just trying to figure out where to start and just enjoy the game and get on the ride. So really good stuff. Great show today. We had some excellent stuff about the Vanderbilt search. Our thanks to George Plaster for coming on, for Max Hurst coming on. Caroline will be back next week. D-Mace and I will get at it one more day tomorrow on the second day that we've given you excuses of how to get out of work so you can watch all the games. Good
Absolutely.
Stuff. Stillman and Company coming up next.
Be loved, love on your people. Happy March Madness. Peace.